Welcome to the DS Smith Interim Management Statement conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to your host, Miles Roberts. You may begin.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us today for a run-through of our IMS that was released this morning. After highlighting some of the key points from our statement, I'm very happy to take any questions you may have. So firstly, just a few words on trading. Well, trading to date has been fully in line with our expectations, with continuing good volume growth led by positive demand trends in paper and corrugated packaging, but in particular in the FMCG sector. The FMCG area of the market now accounts for over two-thirds of our packaging revenue, and our continuing focus on service, innovation and efficiency in this market is clearly paying off. We are also benefiting from key investments made to increase our capability, particularly in the area of shelf-ready packaging, which is growing not only in the UK but strongly in France. Spicer's profitability is also improving due to a better product mix. But more generally with the company, I'm very pleased with the progress we're making on our review of strategy. Our aim is to create a more focused business, producing higher margins and returns with less cyclicality. Achieving these high returns will come through improving the mix of the business towards products with a higher value-added component and less commoditisation, improving our differentiation and driving operational and capital efficiency in the group. The conclusions of this review will be announced at the time of our interim results on the 9th of December, where we'll also give an update on the progress on the integration of OTOR. And with OTOR, the completion took place ahead of schedule on the 1st of September. We're delighted to have completed this acquisition, which will create a platform with significantly enhanced capabilities to address the needs of key corrugated packaging customers both in France and continental Europe, particularly in the FMCG sector, where OTOR has over 80% of its sales. We expect OTOR to be accretive to both earnings and margins in the first full financial year of ownership, with a return on investment above our weighted cost of capital. We also expect to realise annual cost synergies of £9.3 million in the second full financial year of ownership. The integration teams are well set up and we're pleased with the progress they're making. So in conclusion, I'm pleased with the start to our financial year. Demand trends are improving in our packaging market, and our focus on innovation and customer service is clearly paying off. Since joining DS Smith in May, I've visited in more parts of the group and its customers. It only goes to reconfirm my view that there is significant potential within DS Smith. These are exciting times for the company as we go through our review of the business portfolio and the integration of OTOR, and we look forward to the remainder of the year with confidence. The group has continued to build its market position in corrugated packaging, particularly in the FMCG sector across Europe, which has an excellent platform from which we'll develop and grow the group. Thank you. I'm now happy to take any questions people may have.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star, then one on your touchtone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the hash key or the pound sign. If you are using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone. And the first question today comes from Miles, also from UBS.
Yep, a few quick questions. Could you give us some numbers in terms of what demand growth you're seeing in Europe today, or in UK in Europe today?
Yes, we're seeing the overall economies, as you know, have moved out of recession, but we've seen the FMCG sector, which is has been extremely resilient over the last years, continue to grow ahead of the GDP growth. I should add that we're also taking share within that sector, so our growth is some way north of the overall economies. In general, we're looking 5-6% like-for-like growth in our main markets. More growth in the emerging markets, particularly in Poland and Eastern Europe.
And that 5-6%, is that in the first quarter of your year, or is that year to date? So,
that's the first quarter of this year. But it's not untypical of what was experienced in the calendar year to date. This is a continuing trend as the FMCG customers, our large customers, take share. But I have to say, it's our growth within that market. We're growing slightly ahead of the market there, and I believe it is our enhanced focus on service and innovation and quality, which is doing very well for us.
And have you seen any signs of a slowdown in demand? I mean, it's obviously there's macro headwinds and sort of concerns at the moment, but yeah. Are you seeing that in terms of your order book or any other signs?
No, we aren't. It's strong, but I think it's very important to segment the market into the various elements. Now, we have seen in the industrial side there was quite a significant improvement. 6-7 months ago, it continues to improve, but not quite at the rate that it has in the past. But I say the people don't stop eating and drinking. We're very focused in that FMCG sector. It's been resilient, and we've seen absolutely no let up in the demand at all.
And inventories, that they're still reasonably low, we're hearing from some of your competitors. Is that as you see it as well?
Yeah, I mean, when we look at inventory in our finished goods into these customers, we're only talking about a few days of stock. We really do aim to supply on a just-in-time basis, so you know the stock is always very tight in this market. That's a key part of that service offering. But no, demand has been strong, and I say the outlook is for that to continue in this sector.
One of the things I find surprising is how quickly the European containerboard market has turned around from kind of the worst ever market in the summer of last year, 12 months ago, to what is clearly a very robust market. And how confident are you that, I mean, this oversupply that yourself and Steve and so on have talked about has gone, or I mean, obviously you've got a lot of internal measures that give you the confidence as well, but in terms of the overall market, do you think the oversupply issue has now been addressed, or is that still to be tested?
Yeah. I mean, it really is into the segmentation. If you look at the supply of basic packaging to the FMCG sector, there is no overhang of capacity. We are extremely busy. It's continued to grow. We have leading positions in UK and France. Capacity is tight. When you part of the reason, if you just look into some of the paper capacity, I know that the German economy has been growing much faster, and that has taken up some capacity in straight sort of paper. But in terms of the FMCG sector, where high quality packaging, all the shelf ready packaging, the printing, all the recycling, etc., generally there's little capacity. We are investing in terms of our capital. We are investing heavily in this sector.
And with this portfolio review, obviously it's good to sort of have an idea as to when you're going to sort of give your conclusions. I mean, how much of a hurry are you to implement the changes and actually refocus the portfolio and so on? I mean, is this kind of sort of 12 months, and hopefully we'll have a better visibility on the new DS Smith, or I guess it's all subject if you want to divest assets to what buyers are there, but how much of a hurry are you in?
We obviously want to deliver as much value to our shareholders as possible in as short a period as possible. So that is commensurate with looking at implementation risk. It's a capability that we are currently building in the group to make a number of changes, not just in the mix, but in the way we run the business, all around that efficiency area. So it does. We do need to continue to build our capability there. But I can assure all of our shareholders will be moving ahead at the fastest pace commensurate with the with managing the risk. We've just made a significant acquisition. I have to say I'm very pleased with how that's gone. Need to get the costs out of that, as we've talked about. It's a great platform for further growth. We're talking to our existing customers about now how we can supply them more uniformly, more fully across on a European basis. So there's an awful lot of work going on. But I say overall, I'm pretty pleased with the progress. But it won't, Rome wasn't made in a day, so we need a little bit of time.
Okay, that's fine. Thanks.
As a reminder, if you have a question, please press star and one on your touchtone phone. Miles Alsop from UBS is online with a question.
I had one more question, but I thought someone else might want to ask some first. But on the pension, when you sort of closing the future accrual to current members of the scheme,
yes.
And how should we read into this? Is this the first step towards trying to take and obviously manage the sort of liability going forward, but can you sort of reduce the overall risk for the group even further above and beyond this, do you think, in the future?
Yes, the pension fund, I think, it is an issue that a number of shareholders have raised, and I fully understand that. We've taken the first step, closing to future accrual, to limit the ongoing volatility of the pension fund. I have to say, all the announcements dealing with all of our employees who are active members, discussing with the union, again, I'm pleased with the way it's been handled. It's been to date, it's been fully in line with our with how we wanted it to go. It will reduce shareholders' exposure. We're running through a triennial valuation at the moment where we'll be looking at funding and investment policy, and again we'll be doing everything we can to limit the volatility and the exposure our shareholders have to this this liability. So it's certainly not over yet.
And then maybe just on the integration of OTOR, is it right that nothing basically could happen until the deal completed, till you got the competition approval in France?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You're under these competition law is very, very clear in that you can't actually do anything until you get clearance. It's obviously to stop companies integrating and then be turned down with clearance. They basically can't unwind the integration. So they do have to hold separate. But that was always in our plan, so we knew about that. So when the deal was cleared, then we could get off to get the teams established almost immediately. We know the areas we want to look at, and obviously starting to implement the changes that are necessary. And it's, I mean, to be honest, it's actually slightly ahead of schedule. So again, we're very pleased with that.
And in terms of, I guess, a large part of the savings is the fixed or the head office cost in France. Is that basically over the next couple of months? That's
yeah. I mean, we'll
shifting.
We do have to go through a talk to individuals, etc. We have outlined the savings. We're very comfortable with the figures that we've given. And the timing that we've also given as well, we're very comfortable with. We got off to a good start. We know this business well. We understand what we bought. We know where the money is, the value is, and we're going after that, obviously, as quickly as we can.
Okay, great, thanks.
That's all, thank you.
Harry Phillips from Evolution is online with a question.
Good morning. A couple of questions, please. On spices, I was just, you know, obviously encouraging comments. I was just wondering how you are in terms of performance against the underlying market. Are you gaining share and other trends there? And secondly, just in plastics and raw materials, how are you coping with rising sort of raw material prices, and how quickly do they get reflected in your pricing?
Yeah. Well, let's just take the second question first, because we want to create a business that is less cyclical, etc. And a large part of that is how we structure our contracts. In plastics, polymer prices have been rising, but we are we're doing very well in the recovery there of those increasing raw material costs. So plastics is doing well. The recoveries are coming through pretty quickly. I actually think there's more we can do in this area, moving away from these fixed-term contracts, more into negotiated. It gives you less certainty on the volume, but if your service and quality is at the top of the industry, then it gives you the opportunity to price for that more quickly.
Yeah.
So that is an area which we're putting a lot of work focus into, and I'm pleased with the progress in plastics. It's we've got some nice positions there. Obviously, we've got the increasing paper prices coming through the into the packaging business. And again, all the recovery there is all as we expected to achieve. In terms of spices, the availability of market data isn't quite as in other sectors. I think it's fair to say we've probably slightly grown share overall. There's some sort of ups and downs, etc., but overall, we're certainly holding ourselves in the market. The important thing is we sell the right products at the right margin, and that's really where we focus. So I'm less concerned about overall market share, but yeah. I'm more concerned with, are we growing shares in the categories we want to grow in? And that's really behind this comment here, we're growing where we want to grow.
One of the sort of common themes sort of coming out of DS Smith at the moment is this whole greater focus across the piece on pricing. I mean, is this a particular, do you have a sort of team of people around the group, or is this sort of self-enlightenment of existing management teams? I mean, how much of it is a group sort of top-down theme?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I said we need to improve our margins, we need to improve our returns and reduce cyclicality. And you start at the top of the P&L and you start with your pricing.
Yeah.
And you've got to sell the right product and charge the right price. I know it sounds crude, but that's the truth of it. And if your service and quality is right, then you've got to have the confidence to charge for it. And I think that is something which is putting a lot of focus on. It is work, you know, we're a large group in many parts of the world, etc., so you really do have to be working with the management teams, and that's what we're doing. I know we covered this at our full year announcement, and I'm not, you know, volume loss is, if that's what it is, then that's what it is.
Yeah.
You have to get the right price, and that's, I'm actually quite pleased with the way people responded here, but there's certainly more to go. Right product, the right price to the right customer. It's where O'Tour is very strong. They understand as well. That's why their margins are so much higher than the average for DS Smith, and we can learn from that.
Great, that's very kind indeed.
So,
once again, if you have a question, please press star 1. There are no more questions at this time.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, everybody, for your time. I certainly appreciate it.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect.